Welcome to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. We are so excited by all God has done through ACC in such a short period of time. We have heard countless stories of people discovering a brand new perspective on Jesus and being strengthened in their faith through what God is doing through our local church in Auburn, Alabama. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC and would like to invest in all God is doing in and through our church family, we want to invite you to visit our website at auburncommunitychurch.com and click the Give tab to partner with us in seeing the love of Jesus change our community and our world. Thank you for partnering with us to help build a church without walls. We hope you enjoy this message.
So I'm not going to preach long. I know everybody's got places to go, presents to wrap, people to see, and all kind of plans. I'm not going to preach long, but my hope and my prayer is that I do preach clear, and I want to say at the very beginning of this sermon why we are here and why the church celebrates Christmas, because I feel like this time of year, things can get really confusing. Between all that's going on in our culture and all of the songs and all the movies and all the malls and even all of the churches, I think things can become a little bit hazy. So instead of waiting until halfway through the sermon, I just kind of from the beginning want to say why we are here tonight, why Christmas exists, and why some of us in the room are freaking out about the fact that God would come down from heaven and enter into a manger, into the life of a baby boy, live a perfect life, die a sinner's death, and rise from the dead on our behalf. The reason why Christmas is such an exciting time is because God could have revealed himself to humanity in any way he wanted to. And instead of sending a list of rules and restrictions, and instead of yelling from the sky what we should do or shouldn't do, he became one of us. He became poor among us. The fact that Jesus was laid in a manger is kind of romanticized. It's like really comforting, you know. It's like, oh, he got like a little Tempur-Pedic hay bed thing going on there. No, no, no. Jesus was in a feeding trough for pigs. That's how the king of the universe entered into our space, mostly unnoticed and unrecognized. And the reason why God did it that way and no other way is because he wanted to scream out loud and clear to humanity, here I am, I'm with you, and I'm knowable. And I'm not so far off that you can't enter into a relationship with me. I've actually come to live among you. And we can't lose that. And I'm not trying to be a Grinch. I love reindeer. I love Christmas trees. I love Santa. I love gifts. I love everything about the Christmas season. Love Christmas movies. Love Christmas music. But I think it's just so much sometimes that we kind of forget about the simplicity of God with us, Emmanuel. This is a huge deal. This is a big deal. And if you're here tonight and somebody just dragged you to church, or you came because there's a gingerbread village and you're like, I just wanted to see that, and kind of heard the music and made my way in here, we're so grateful that you are here. You're so welcome to be here. But we're believing that over the next few minutes, you hear about the God who came down from heaven to know you. And to be honest with you, I thought about preaching tonight different than I normally preach, because I realize that we have a lot of people who aren't normally here. You're here from out of town, or you're here because it's Christmas. And so I thought, man, just really nice and feel good 20-minute message about the baby in the manger, and then let's go eat ham. But I just decided, you know what? I'm going to do what we always do. What God's doing through this church is working. And so I'm not going to change it up, not going to lighten it up, not really going to do anything overwhelmingly different than I normally do on a Sunday, other than the fact that I'm wearing a blazer. And so if that's okay with everybody, we're going to go there. Is that cool? All right, it's a one-shot message, not a part of a series, standalone message titled, Tis the Season. For all the note takers, this is called Tis the Season. And I don't know why, but at Christmas time, you can't say it is or it was. You have to say tis, and you have to say twas. In fact, if you're willing, would you look at the person next to you and say, twas the night before Christmas. Twas the night before. It really is. Doesn't that feel good? And by the way, I know that some of you that bothers you, that he's always telling me to talk to my neighbor. I just want you to know, this could be the first time that the person you just talked to was actually smiled at this week. So if we can just get out of our comfort zone, maybe for the sake of someone's salvation, let's do that. But 'twas the night before Christmas, 'tis the season. I'm going to avoid that side sermon that I almost got on there and stay focused on 'tis the season. So 'tis the season to be jolly. This is something that we say. This is something that basically reminds us that Christmas is recognizable and predictable. 'Tis the season for the Christmas trees, for the decorations, for the gifts and everything that comes with Christmas. But the reason why I picked that title is because the original Christmas season was anything but recognizable and predictable. In fact, it wasn't even predictable for the parents who brought Jesus into the world. And we so many times go into the Christmas season and all the normal routines and rituals that we repeat year after year happen, and we remember the birth and we move on to the new year. But I just kind of want to stop for a second and hone in on the fact that Jesus came to earth in a way that was completely unpredictable. And when he was born, he was completely unrecognized as the king he was. You might be here and be like, well, what about the wise men? They recognized him. Adjust your nativity a little bit. They didn't get there till like a year later, okay? So if you go home tonight and you go to your nativity, you can just like put them behind the TV or something. They're on their way. But let's stay accurate for a second. Jesus was born in an unpredictable and unrecognizable way. And I only mention that tonight to say this. You don't have to miss out on God just because you can't predict or don't recognize what he is doing. You don't have to miss out on God just because he operates in the world and in your life in an unpredictable, sometimes unrecognizable way. And the tension that I think every person in this room wrestles with, especially those of us who are followers of Jesus, is that God has this tendency to bring seasons into our lives that we would not predict, that we would not want, and that we definitely did not see coming. And when that happens, our tendency is to drift into this space where we are completely thrown off the equilibrium of our relationship with God, and we end up bitter, and we end up anxious, and we end up fearful, and we end up in this space where the season that we didn't see coming becomes the season where God feels the most distant. And I want to submit to you tonight that when God brings an unpredictable, unrecognizable season into your life, it's not because he wants to surprise you or he wants to throw something at you that will make you drift further from him. It's because it is in that season that he can become most known in your life personally and most known to the people around you through your life. And we see that the most clearly in this teenage girl who God decided to use, 13 years old, maybe 14, at the oldest, 15. And her name was Mary. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke is the third gospel. It's the third of four historical accounts of the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Luke is actually a physician, a doctor who is extremely detailed about the life of Jesus. He wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. And if you're here and you kind of struggle with whether or not Christianity is historically accurate, I would highly encourage you to read the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And you see how Luke is like a historian seeking to put the pieces together of what the life of Jesus was like, starting with his birth. And in Luke chapter 1, we read about two extremely unlikely pregnancies. One for a woman named Elizabeth, who's a little bit older, and one for a woman named Mary who's a little bit younger. And I actually want to read something that's not even from the night that Jesus was born. I want to read to you the moment where Mary found out she was having the Son of God. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I'm going to read about 12 verses, and let's tune in to the Word of God together. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says this: in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. An angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and who is unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." It's the word of God. And as I read this, I was struck by a few things. One was how fearful Mary was when an angel came into contact with her. And if you read in the Bible, every time an angel shows up, the person seeing the angel is afraid. That's because angels are not little children sitting on clouds playing harps. Angels are heavenly beings that if you saw them, you would be tempted to do one of three things: pee your pants, run away, or worship them. And I'm dead serious. I love that didn't get any laughter. I'll try for more on my next angel joke. But Mary is freaked out. She's partly freaked out because an angel would freak you out, and partly because it's very rare for an angel to appear to a woman one-on-one. And the angel says something to comfort her twice. He says, "You have found favor with God." And this is not the sermon for tonight, but I feel like this is for somebody in our space. Every time God bestows favor on an individual, that is completely related to the amount of faith that is going to be required through their life. So the more favor you acquire, the more faith it will require from your life. So Mary knows you're highly favored by God. That's not like, "Oh, I'm one of God's favorites." That means God's about to make me super uncomfortable and call me to something that maybe I wouldn't choose and maybe I wouldn't predict and maybe is going to be increasingly difficult. So for those of you in the room who have found favor in the eyes of God, you need to know that God's favor in your life is directly related to the faith that will be required through your life. You're highly favored, Mary. God's going to give you the Son of God. The man that Mary was engaged to, Joseph, was a descendant of David. And so it lines up with the prophecies of the Old Testament that the Messiah would be born to a father in the line of David, except for the fact that Joseph's not necessarily the father. The God of the universe is the father because Mary is a virgin. And we got kids in the room. We're going to save this conversation for the parents later tonight. But obviously, there is some confusion as to how in the world this conception happened. Did you guys see the video of our kids last week? I love that one of our kids was like, "I'm not even married. How is that possible?" I was like, "Your parents will tell you that later." But Mary's like, "Whoa, how in the world did this happen?" And everything about this conversation looks like what we would expect from the angel greeting Mary, her being afraid that I'm having the Son of God. That's crazy. How's this going to happen? We're engaged, but we're not there yet. And engagement, by the way, was just as binding as marriage, but the marriage was not fully, it didn't happen. So the moment that I really want to get to, though, is what happens in the next verse. I wanted to tell you that everything about Mary's conversation with the angel was to be expected until this one verse from Luke chapter 1, verse 38, that leapt off the page to me as I read it in Scripture this week. This is the message of Christmas Eve at ACC. Because what happens next is something that comes completely out of nowhere, and I hope it speaks to you. After Mary gets her main question answered, she says this in verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. That's where this interaction gets completely crazy. Because if I had to bet money, I would say every person in this room would not respond to this interaction like that. She asked the question that would have been natural, but there's about five other questions that I would have and you would have before I submit myself to the will of God. One of them being, what in the world am I going to tell the man I'm engaged to? Because he knows this baby's not his, and how is that conversation going to go down? And number two, not just him, what in the world am I going to tell the community? I am a teenage girl who's gotten pregnant before my wedding. How in the world am I going to explain this? And number three, do you know how poor I am? You want the Son of God to be born into my family and you're going to choose me? You would have those questions. I would have those questions. But yet, Mary comes to God with a spirit that says, God, I'm totally available for you to do in my life what you just said. And when I read that sentence, I knew that is the key to responding to seasons of life that you and I do not see coming. And then later on in Luke chapter 1, Mary kind of celebrates this pregnancy that's coming with her relative Elizabeth, but then she actually sings a song. And if you skip down to verse 46, I want to read you this. It says this, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. And you and I have a tendency to read stuff like this in scripture and go, that's so nice, Mary. You're so excited that God's going to use you. That's so awesome. That's so cool. That's so Christmassy. No, you need to know that in this moment, Mary could have chosen confusion. She could have chosen fear. She could have chosen a lot of different roads that you and I are tempted to go down when we don't see a season coming. But instead, she rejoices in the fact that it is an honor to be used by God, regardless of how hard it will be for her personally. And you and I have the exact same choice every single time a season and a circumstance shows up that we weren't expecting. And I love that Mary says, can we put that word in yellow that I told you guys about? My soul glorifies the Lord. Look at this. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. See, I believe that this is the key to the Christmas season. The key to the Christmas season is the spirit that you choose. We hear a lot of talk about get in the Christmas spirit. What do we mean by that? That means choose to be joyful. Choose how you're going to respond. And I love this. I love this about Mary. She could have chosen so many different spirits to her season, but she chooses a spirit of humble submission to God when she doesn't understand anything about what she's going through. And this is the message of Christmas Eve this year. This is what I believe God wanted me to share with you. I wanted to share that you cannot choose the season God brings to you. You can choose the spirit you bring to God. See, seasons happen. You can't control the season God brings your way, but spirits are chosen. And what you and I love to do in our relationship with God is focus on what we can't control instead of owning what he's entrusted to us to choose. And we love to sit back and go, well, I didn't see this moment coming. And if I would have known you were going to do things this way, then I would have done this or I would have prepared this. And God, how could you, if you are the God of the universe, let this season come into my life? In fact, let me just say this. Some of you who are here and you're not believers in Jesus, you don't buy into this whole God thing. I have a lot of conversations with people who are not all in to Christianity. And the reason why they're not all in is not because a virgin gave birth or not because they just can't get around the idea of a creator. It is mostly because God threw a season into their life or into the world that they weren't expecting and that they don't agree with. But instead of focusing on what you can't control about a season, why don't you and I focus on what we can control in our own spirit? And Christmas is less about the season happening all around you and so much more about the spirit that you have chose on the inside. And I know for some of you, you think God is distant because of your circumstances. And the message of Christmas this year is God's not far off because of what you're going through. You're far off because of how you've chosen to respond to him. Mary could have said anything. She could have said, you should choose someone else. She could have said, give me the words to explain this to the people who are going to think that I am a sinner. Give me the plan for the future. What's this baby going to end up like? Tell me more details. But instead, Mary captures a heart that I believe God wants us to capture, which is quitting the battle for control through surrender and giving up your need to know all of the details and how God is doing every single detail of your life to going, God, you're the one who's in control, and I say yes to whatever you have for me. It's a season of joy. And we talk about joy to the world. It's the most wonderful time of the year, but really, it's not, especially for those of us in the room who have been around long enough to lose someone close to us. I think the holidays are not necessarily the most wonderful time of the year. They're actually the most grief-filled times of the year. So why do we talk about a season of joy? Why is there joy to the world in the midst of a baby being born, Prince of Peace, when in all actuality he came and died a death of violence and not much changed about what was going on in the world after? It's okay to ask questions like this. What are we so joyful about? And where's all the peace that we're finding? Jesus did not come to bring a government of peace to the whole world around you. He came to bring peace on the inside of you for your need to control all the details of what you can't understand. And watch this. He came to bring you joy that's not dependent on a circumstance, but available in anything and everything. Because joy is not something that's inherited. It's not an emotion. Joy is a choice. Happiness is an emotion that is the result of a circumstance, but joy is a choice that you can find on your best day and on your worst day. And we choose joy at Christmas. Why? Because a Savior has been born to us and God has said yes to a relationship with humanity. He's available today. Your sin is not holding you back from Jesus right now. This is a big deal. And this is why we find joy in Him. And 2017 has been a year for me discovering that faith based on circumstances and seasons is always marked by fear, anxiety, distrust, and exhaustion. Can I just tell you that if you base your relationship with God on your circumstances or your season, no matter how good your circumstances are, you will be full of distrust, fear, and anxiety, and ultimately you will be completely exhausted. And I know that personally because 2017 was the perfect year in my life. And on the inside, I was falling apart the entire time. And this is something really weird about our church, but whoever like stands up here and preaches just is like totally honest about how sinful they are. I'm actually not closer to God than you are. I'm actually broken, and I can actually join you in the seat and let Jesus be the lead pastor of this church and go speak through me. Here's what you need to know about me. 2017, we welcomed the most beautiful little baby in the world. And you can see her on your way out tonight. She really is the biggest like bundle of joy in the entire universe. And it was awesome. Our church grew from about 700, maybe 800 on a good day to we've seen over 2,000 people on a Sunday. You guys have responded generously to our church. Our church is able to dream about countless avenues in the future. I've been given opportunities that I never thought I was going to be given. When I look circumstantially at 2017, I go, this year was awesome. And when I look at what was going on in my heart, I go, ouch, there's pain there. Why? Because when your connection to God is dependent on circumstances and watch this, your spirit is dependent on what you are going through, you will end up constantly questioning God. You will end up constantly wondering when things are going to take a turn for the worse. You will end up in a place where you're so full of fear and anxiety, you can't even sleep at night. That's where that will take you, even in the good times. And so why not trade in a spirituality that's based on what's happening currently for a spirituality that's based on a connection with God regardless of what you're going through? And that's a choice that's available for you. And I just noticed this. This is what I noticed about God. This is crazy, y'all. God does his most powerful work in me and through me in seasons I wasn't expecting. I found in my life that when God becomes the most real to me personally and the most people get impacted by what he's doing in my life, it completely coincides with a moment and a calling in a season that I wouldn't have chosen if it was up to me. And so if the goal of life is to know God and make him known, God has to bring seasons into your life that you weren't expecting. If the goal of life is to redeem your family, sometimes God has to show up with a disease that you would not have chosen for your father, or a disease that you would not have chosen for yourself, or a divorce that you would not have otherwise wanted. Sometimes, I'm not saying God wanted the divorce. I'm saying in the midst of the pain, God brings you to a season of brokenness where he goes, now I show up. Because if you always had things the way you wanted, guess what? You wouldn't need God. But when you get thrown into a season that you wouldn't have chosen, it increases your trust in who he is. And watch this. People are impacted because they look at your life and they go, how in the world is he or she holding on? And so he becomes real and you're being used by God, but you wouldn't have chosen the season. It's because it's not about the season. It's about your spirit. I'm not going to take up too much more of your time. I want you to tune in over the next few minutes, because I believe what happens in this room could be the most important thing that happens this Christmas for your family. And I got three things that will allow you to choose that spirit of joy. They're all gonna be really, really difficult for you going into 2018. But I got three quick truths that I see in what was present about Mary in Luke chapter 1. And I believe God's gonna use them. Sermon's titled, "Tis the Season," right? Could you look at the person next to you and say, "Tis the season, tis the season, tis the season." Okay, tis the season for what? Here it is, you ready? Tis the season to shift your focus from what you expect to who you trust. Tis the season to shift your focus from what you expect to who you trust. Now, remember, this is my directive to how to choose your spirit. And too many of us end up derailed in our relationships with God when our expectations become disappointed. And I would venture to say that is because your focus shouldn't have been on your tangible expectations. Your focus should have been on your relational God. And if your relationship with God is always focused on the details of what you're holding on to circumstantially, you will miss the fact that Jesus did not just come to make your circumstances better. Jesus came down from heaven to welcome you into a relationship that's available in any and every season. And here's the truth. Your expectations as you are following the Son of God, Christians in the room who have been following Jesus for a long time, you need to amen this. If you follow him for a while, he's going to do something you aren't expecting. He's going to take you down a road where you're going, I didn't know we were going this way. I didn't know we were moving to Auburn. Wait, what? I live in Atlanta. That's crazy. I didn't know we were going to head into that. I didn't know. But guess what? There's a better way to following Jesus than the way the disciples did in many moments of the Gospels. Have you ever noticed the more Jesus did the unexpected, the more annoyed they got? The more they're like, so when are we overthrowing the Romans? When is that happening? Like, we just want to, and Jesus is like, I'm not here to overthrow the Romans. I'm here to overthrow Satan, sin, and death. Okay? So I'm thinking about something that you're not even thinking about. That's the problem with following a guy who's your Lord and Savior. First part being Lord. He will go places that you're not anticipating and not expecting. But here's the good news. If you make your relationship with God more about knowing him than figuring out where he's going, you will find peace. So trade in what you expect for who you trust. And if your relationship with God is more rooted in who you know than what you want to know, you will have peace no matter where he leads. And that's what Mary had. Guys, don't over-spiritualize this. We like to go, oh, well, that's Mary, the mother of God. She's a saint. Like, I can't be like her. Mary was an engaged teenager. Anybody been around any engaged young women lately? Do they have plans? Do they have plans that they're kind of holding on to pretty tight? You want to know how tight they're holding on to them? Try to change them. And if you're the groom, don't do that, or you won't be the groom any longer. But if you talk to an engaged girl, they got plans. Okay, they are constantly making plans. And that is the exact season that the Spirit of God shows up in Mary's life and goes, hey, just want to shatter all of your plans right now. No, Mary had plans, but here's the thing. Mary's relationship with God was more based on the God she could know than the details of her own story. And so she's not completely thrown off of her relationship with God just because a season comes that she didn't see coming. And I believe if you and I are going to create a pathway for God to do something powerful this Christmas, we have to cross over from basing our relationship with God on expectations to basing it on a person. And his name is Jesus. If you don't know this, God is a relational God. Christmas screams out loud and clear, I'm here for you to know me. And too many of us in this room grew up in faith traditions, maybe churches and backgrounds that gave you a list of rules and restrictions and said, here's what God wants from you. And tonight might be the night where you throw that list in the trash and say, that list got thrown away for a person, and he's knowable. And he's here and he's available. And when your relationship with God shifts from being transactional about things to being transformational about him, man, it's powerful, powerful what God can do. So number one, this season, here's what I want you to do. I want you to shift your focus from what you expect to who you trust. That's number one. Number two is this. 'Tis the season to change your posture from constantly distracted to readily available. Your spirit is all about your focus. And even I like that word, posture. It's how you position your heart. And I think what was different about Mary in the story of Christmas is her availability. When you read the Christmas story, no one really notices that the Son of God has been born. And it's not because they're all so sinful that they can't see it. It's that they're all so distracted that they don't notice. You read the Christmas story, and don't just read it in the Gospel of Luke. Read it in the Gospel of Matthew, because there's this crazy thing that happens where these wise men or magi come from this place called Persia, and they travel west to Jerusalem. By the way, the first Noel, wrong. They didn't go east. They went west. We need to read maps when we write songs about God. But these guys, and oh, those of you who aren't even believers in the room, you're super intellectual. You need to hear what I'm about to say. The smartest people on planet Earth knew that the Son of God was being born, and all the religious people missed it. Okay? So these magi, these wise men, they were astrologers, and they knew that if there's a star that shines above Israel, that means that their king has been born. They knew the prophecies from the Old Testament. So they see the star, they follow the star, but then the star goes away. Read this in Matthew. This is the true account of Jesus' birth. And then they get to the capital of Israel, which was Jerusalem, and they go, hey, where's the king? We saw a star. Your king's been born. And everybody in Jerusalem looks at them like they are crazy. They go, what are you guys talking about? Your king, we saw a star. Like, your king's been born, right? No, I don't know what you're talking about. And they go, okay, well, how about this? If your king was born, where would he be born? We don't know your religion good enough to know this, so where would he be born? And they go, oh, well, the prophecy says Bethlehem. He'd be born in Bethlehem. So they go, okay, cool. We'll go to Bethlehem. By the way, there weren't necessarily three wise men. There were three gifts. There might have been 50 wise men. So all these guys are, you should really read the Bible. It's cool in its original form. Watch this. I promise this is going somewhere. They go to Bethlehem, and on their way there, the star reappears, and they find Jesus. Notice this. The guys who were the furthest away from God are the guys who found him simply because they were paying attention. And the people who were the closest to him missed him completely, not because they're so sinful and blind. It's because they were so distracted doing other unimportant things comparatively. And oh man, that should be convicting for church people in 2017. Maybe the biggest roadblock between you and God that keeps your spirit from submitting to God is not your sins that have been nailed to the cross, but actually your focus that's so distracted. And if you will posture your life more available like Mary, I love Mary's response. I'm the Lord's servant. That is the only way to respond to the God of the universe who calls you to something great and tells you that he loves you in Jesus. I'm the Lord's servant. I'm available. Whatever you want, let it be as your word has said. Let me ask you this. Are you available for God to use you? Or are you so distracted? The greatest roadblock in my relationship with God right now, and I've confessed this many times on this stage, but it is a continual battle. It is my iPhone. And the enemy is using that great piece of technology to shift our minds and shift our posture to where instead of on our knees, humble before God, we spend our days looking at a screen. So maybe this Christmas, there's a shift in your focus from what you expect to who you trust, but also there's a change in your posture. What does it mean to have an available posture? It has everything to do with your schedule. Do you have time for God to speak to you? Do you have time to speak to God? Do you set apart time for the God of the universe to become someone who's actually real to you? Well, I could go off about what that looks like. Our church is here to help you with that, but until you try, you'll never know. You know, people are always like, well, I try and I get alone with God and he just doesn't really say anything and I don't understand the Bible. And then I go, how many times did you do that? Oh, I did it once and it wasn't really, okay, let's do it. You're not gonna learn how to do something after 10 minutes of trying. Let's actually get in the Word of God and let the Spirit of God come and speak to us. So 'tis the season to shift your focus from what you expect to who you trust, to change your posture from constantly distracted to readily available. And then lastly, move. Oh, this is huge. 'Tis the season to move your heart from self-sufficiency to humble submission. If there is one line that summarizes 2017 for our church, I think it's number three. To move your heart from self-sufficiency to humble submission. And Mary is not trying to figure out all the details of the season by herself. She just knows that the best posture, the best way to come before the God of the universe is aware of how desperate for him you really are. And the best place you and I could ever be spiritually is at the end of ourselves. Why? Because it is at that very point that God reveals himself in the most powerful way. And I love that our church, like we struggle to figure out where to meet. We struggle to figure out how we're going to make it through a particular season. We struggle and we struggle and we struggle. But yet, it is in that very struggle of not knowing the details that God continues to keep us humble and continues to keep us submitted so that we're aware. God, we know how much we need you. If you don't come through, we're not even going to have a place to meet. We're not even going to move forward as a church. If you don't do this, there's no way this is going to happen. And I'm here to tell you that the greatest enemy of the Christian life is actually not Satan. He was bound when Jesus died and rose. The greatest enemy of the Christian life is self-sufficiency. Feeling like you're enough. Trying to do it on your own and thinking, I got this. And the moment you do that, you miss out on the spirit of humility that the Christmas season calls for. What does that spirit look like? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Do not wait until circumstances knock you to the ground to humble yourself before God. I'm begging you guys, and I promise we're gonna sing a song, we're gonna get out of here, but this would be my last plea. Do not live your life only calling on God when your season gets desperate enough. Because here's what'll happen when you get desperate enough. You will not have an anchor to hold you and catch you. The tragedy will knock you on your face and you will not even really know where to turn or how to do it. But for those of us in the room who move from what we expect to who we trust, who are available to be used by God, here's what we have. We have a pattern in our lives of humbly submitting to God. So that means no matter if there is the divorce or that diagnosis does come or the season does hit, you have an anchor, you have a cornerstone, you have a foundation that goes, I'm not gonna get knocked out completely. My hope stands in who Jesus is and he cannot be moved. That's what Christmas is all about. And if you're here and you don't know him, tonight is your night. If you've been living in self-sufficiency for 47 years and you showed up tonight going, I did not know that that's what we were going to encounter on Christmas Eve service, but if Jesus is still available for me, I want to humble myself before him. Tonight is your night because I got good news. Christmas is incomplete without Easter. And the baby they laid in a wooden manger became the Savior they nailed to a wooden cross. And he died. He died quickly, within 6 hours. And he called out with his last breath, "It is finished." And for all he had done in that moment, our sins were paid in full. But here's the thing, the story was not over, though the mission was completed. On Sunday, the tomb was empty. Jesus rose from the dead, and he offers resurrection power to every person in this room by the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. That spirit will enter into the inside of you and connect you to God for the rest of your life. If what? You humbly submit yourself to God. What does that look like? That looks like Jesus, I'm available. Jesus, I'm in. And by the way, we're going to have a prayer for those of you that's you tonight. But if you're here tonight and you are a follower of Jesus, but 2017 has been a lot of self-sufficiency for you, and you'd be really honest about that, I'm going to invite you into that prayer as well. I think every single one of us in this room needs to be reminded that our best life is lived on our knees, submitted before God. 'Tis the season. not to find blind happiness in a holiday. 'Tis the season to fall before God and be reminded of how much we need Him. If you would, close your eyes, put your notes away all over this space. If you're here tonight, and maybe for the first time, you want to cross over from self-sufficiency to humble submission. Or you're here tonight and you've been following Jesus, but tonight you know, God, I don't want to do this on my own anymore. I've been living in my own power and my own strength, and tonight I'm reminded that I'm at the end of myself. I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask anyone underneath that umbrella if you would just throw your hand in the air. 1, 2, 3, shoot them up all over this place. Shoot them up. I want to pray for you. Shoot them up. Father God, we pray for every hand raised right now. I pray that even in their own spirit that they would just say, God, I surrender. Here I am. Jesus, be Lord of my life. I'm tired of going my own way. Father, we know that the spirit of Christmas is a spirit that's dependent on you. And so we're not going to leave here making our lives about what season may come. We're going to leave here with a spirit that says, Jesus, you are my God. You are my Lord. Thank you for coming down from heaven to rescue me. So God, you see these hands, you know these hearts. In Jesus' name, fill them with your spirit. And in Jesus' name, send us out from this space. Surrender to you. We love you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all stand up. Let's sing to God. Come on.
Thank you for listening to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC, we want to invite you to share your story with us by emailing us at mystory@auburncommunitychurch.com. We encourage you to keep up with all God is doing at ACC by following along on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, auburncommunitychurch.com.